Good morning, Emmanuel, and welcome to our morning's worship today. A special word of greetings if we have any visitors worshipping with us. I don't think that is the case, but if there is anybody who's here for the first time, please make yourself known to us before you leave. Also, greetings to those who will be listening to the service as part of our recorded ministry online. For whatever reason you're listening at home, we do hope you'll enjoy the service and feel uplifted by it and feel closer to the church family here at Emmanuel. I'm delighted to say there are no notices to give out other than those in the weekly news sheet, so I hope everybody has had a copy of that. But in terms of today's service, you'll be aware that Robert is preaching at Highworth, this being the fourth Sunday of the month. So we're delighted to have Stuart Benjamin with us, who's going to be leading our worship today. And I know we look forward to hearing his address later on. In terms of the readings, and there are three short readings today from the Bible, they'll be done by me, Steve Brain. And now, a few moments of quiet as we prepare to worship God.
Good morning, Emmanuel. Good morning. Our call to worship comes from Hebrews this morning. Since then, we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to our act of worship this morning. We wake each day not quite knowing what the day will bring, but we live in the knowledge that however God brings us to it, God will also see us through it, through the good times, the bad times, the hard times, and the strange times. Let's join together in prayer. God of the open road, God of the twisting path, God of the narrow and upward way, your people are gathered for worship. In this hour, give us provision for the journey, courage and faith and compassion, and endurance to face any hardship. Open our eyes to see you walking beside us, protecting us, encouraging us, loving us. We pray this in the name of Jesus, who moves us. Amen. Now what happened to me was, I can't quite remember the last time I set foot in this church. It must have been Sunday prior to the lockdown on the 23rd of March 2020. So it's over a year ago, and then some. I remember Robert, up here where I am now, joking in the pulpit about how confusing all the hand-washing rules were. Do you remember the hand-washing rules? There were lots of people on the telly telling us how to do it, as if we didn't know. And he was also joking about whether he could touch his face or not, and then you touch your face by accident, and then you think, have I caught something? Anyway, then lockdown came and that was it. So the other day, Sam said to me, I haven't got anyone to do the service. Could you do it? I think she was short of choices. And I said, okay. And then I thought about it. Perhaps I should have done that the other way around. I should have thought about it first. Anyway, I wasn't sure if I wanted to do it. Did I really want to do it? Would it be okay? Would it be safe? And I questioned the whole decision in a way I would never have done before the pandemic. I was anxious about what I would say, what I would do. Would anybody be interested in it? Would it be any good? Did I really want to put myself through it? Could I avoid it? Well, no, Sam had agreed to it, so there we go. Anyway, here I am, and I'm really pleased to be back here. But it does make you realise how much our society has completely changed in these last 18 months. Not only has this church changed, and how we do church has changed, but the way we think about things even has changed how we think. And perhaps in all of this, God is the one constant, our anchor and our hope. And in this case, God was perhaps that nagging voice at the back of my head saying, you've got to do something different one of these days, haven't you? And so here I am. And it's nice to be back. Thank you for having me. Hymns have changed too, so I hear. So the hymn we're going to hear is All Creatures of Our God and King, and we can follow it on the sheet.
Oh.
join together for our prayers of thanksgiving and our prayers of confession. Let us pray. Thank you, Father God, for the wonders of your creation. We see them all around us, and we are grateful that you do not keep them for yourself, but share them freely with us. We thank you for the gifts you have given us, the skills of fingers and hands, the gift of human imagination, the ability to coordinate hands and minds. Thank you for giving us the patience to continue when we find tasks difficult, and the persistence to begin again when things go wrong. Particularly in these days of the pandemic, we thank you for our friends, families, good neighbours, and the people that care for us, and the communities that work together in these hard times. Have mercy as we come before you to confess our failures, when our words have been many, but our deeds few. Fan the fires of compassion in us once again, when the cries of victims go unheard and the scars of wars or conflicts refuse to heal. When we fail to stand for justice, to empower the weak until they are no longer oppressed. Forgive us when our neighbours, whoever they are, need help, and we fail to show your love by offering support. Forgive us. When, as so often in the past, we avert our eyes from those in trouble and pretend everything is all right and nothing to do with us, forgive us. Help us to reach out to others in love, so your glory may be revealed to all of us. Amen. And let us join together in the prayer that Lord God taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive them that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
There are three Bible readings today, the first taken from the book of Genesis, chapter 7. Then the Lord said to Noah, "Go into the ark, you and all your household, for I have seen that you alone are righteous before me in this generation. Take with you 7 pairs of all clean animals, the male and its mate, and a pair of the animals that are not clean, the male and its mate. And 7 pairs of the birds of the air also, male and female, to keep their kind alive on the face of all the earth. For in 7 days I will send rain on the earth for 40 days and 40 nights, and every living thing that I have made I will blot out from the face on the ground." And Noah did all that the Lord commanded him. Then, turning almost to the end of the Old Testament, we come to the book of Jonah and the first few verses of the first chapter. "Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai, saying, 'Go at once to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me.' But Jonah set out to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid his fare and went on board to go with them to Tarshish, away from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord hurled a great wind upon the sea, and such a mighty storm came upon the sea that the ship threatened to break up. Then the mariners were afraid, and each cried to his God. They threw the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten it for them. Jonah, meanwhile, had gone down into the hold of the ship and had lain down and was fast asleep. And now finally some words from the New Testament, from the Gospel of Matthew. When they had crossed over, they came to land at Gennesaret. After the people of that place recognized him, they sent word throughout the region and brought all who were sick to him and begged him that they might touch even the fringe of his cloak. And all who touched it were healed. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Steve. I want to add a fourth reading to the three Bible readings we just encountered this morning. This is from a book which is as long as the Bible. It's called The Lord of the Rings. And this is from Book 1, Chapter 2. And it concerns the hobbit Frodo Baggins, who's just found he's responsible for looking after the all-powerful One Ring, a magic ring of great power and malevolence, which he must now quest to destroy. "I wish it need not have happened in my time," said Frodo. "So do I," said Gandalf. "And so do all who live to see such times. But that is not for them to decide. All we have to decide is what to do with the time given us." And what Tolkien does in this very short paragraph is show that we don't always have a say over the hand of fate and what the hand of fate deals us. And Tolkien himself would have felt this greatly. Like many of his generation, what we call the greatest generation, he served in World War I and fought at the Battle of the Somme. He also lived through World War II. Neither he nor any of those of his generation wished those wars would happen in their lifetimes. But they did, and he had no choice, and they had no choice, but to use their time on Earth to take part in great events. Frodo Baggins himself would like nothing more than to sit in the pub all day and eat six meals, I believe that's what they have, six meals a day. But fate has other plans for him. And in our first two readings this morning from the Old Testament, we can also see this sort of thing in action. You replace fate with God and God's will, and we see that he has big plans for Noah, and later on he also has big plans for Jonah. And we see two very different responses to this. Noah is an old man with grown-up and married sons. He ought at his age, whatever age that is, I don't know, he ought to be taking things easy. Instead, he follows God's call to build an ark to avoid the cataclysmic rainstorm and flood that is sent to sweep the world clean. Jonah, arguably, doesn't have to do anything so physically demanding as build a giant ark, but he is asked to give of himself to God and to sort of share and spread God's word. And famously, he runs away. You know these stories inside out. You only have to hear the opening parts of each to know kind of what happens next. But they wish these things perhaps didn't happen in their lifetimes. But they were called to serve and to serve God. Frodo is also called to serve on a mission that he doesn't want to do. Like also the generations of people who perhaps fought through two world wars. I wish a pandemic need not have happened in my time, said Stuart. So do I, said Gandalf. And so do all who live to see such times. But it's not for them to decide. All we have to decide to do is do what we can with the time that is given us. Jesus, as it would seem, didn't live through a pandemic, but living 2,000 years ago, he did see a lot of illness. He did meet and heal a lot of sick people, even some who had died from whatever made them sick in the first place. And our New Testament reading is one example of that. But again, you know all these stories inside out. We could have picked any number of examples. And Jesus is a bit like Noah. He has this inbuilt sense of mission and purpose. There is little or no room for doubt, unlike Jonah or perhaps even Frodo. And Jesus often reconciles a lot of the Old Testament teachings. And what I mean by this is his mission, his quest, if you want to call it that, is based on love. The love of God and the love of humanity, the love of us. Whereas sometimes the Old Testament books can seem very problematic. A lot of life, a lot of living things are destroyed in the Noah story. Jonah is swallowed by a massive fish. All these sorts of things happen to them. But Jesus, in the New Testament, brings humility, he brings self-sacrifice, and most importantly, he brings love. He puts others first. He does all these things in a time of great upheaval, in times of occupation by a foreign army, in times of infighting between these spiritual and secular leaders of his day. He has no doubt about what he will do in the time that is given to him. And he gives himself freely, even though ultimately, as we know, it will cost him his life. I wish all this upheaval need not have happened in my time, said Stuart. So do I, said Gandalf. And so do all who live to see such times. But that is not for them to decide. All we have to decide is what to do with the time that is given to us. Speaking of upheaval, this Tuesday just gone saw the commemoration of Windrush Day. People arriving in Britain between 1948 and 1971 from the Caribbean countries have often been labelled the Windrush Generation. As you'll know, it refers to the ship marine vessel Empire Windrush, which docked in Tilbury on the 22nd of June 1948, bringing workers from Jamaica, Trinidad and Tobago, and other islands to help fill post-war UK labour shortages. And in that same year, 1948, the NHS was formed. However, it became clear very quickly that in the aftermath of World War II, there was a shortage of qualified healthcare staff to fulfil ever-increasing demand. Nurses, midwives, and other care staff came from the Caribbean and were actively invited by the British government to come to Britain and help staff this new service. The arrival of the many nurses and new trainee nurses who came from the Caribbean in those years was crucial to the success of the NHS. And without their input, it's likely it would not have survived, failing before it had really had the time to become established. And unfortunately, despite being invited by the British government, no preparation had been made to receive them, and the British people themselves were unprepared for the influx of large numbers of migrants. As a result, far from the welcome they expected, these nurses, midwives, and other workers were introduced into a largely hostile social and work environment. And there are many stories of the challenges faced by black people of the Windrush generation, experiences of racism, isolation, and rejection as they tried to fulfill their duties that they were assigned. Many found that their qualifications from the Caribbean were not validated here in the UK and had to work twice as hard to regain the recognition and professional levels that they arrived with. And sadly, many never did. But currently, the NHS is the biggest employer of people from a BAME, that's Black Asian Minority Ethnic Background, in Europe. 20.7% of the NHS workforce, which represents over 200 nationalities. Many are doctors, nurses, allied health professionals, domestic workers, caterers, porters, the list goes on. And on Windrush Day, just gone, we give our thanks and gratitude to all of them for being, like Noah, Jonah, and Jesus, the right people in the right place and at the right time. Some with a strong sense of purpose, some perhaps more reluctant, but nevertheless, they were here when we needed them. I'll tell you of my pandemic experiences at the hospital another time, but for now, here's just one story, which kind of links together the readings and the stuff about Windrush that I've told you. During the first lockdown, back in 2020, I was talking to one of our specialists, our specialist doctors. She wanted me to find some journal papers for her. She, like many of the NHS staff at the Great Western Hospital, came from overseas. She was a young African woman. And after she had gone, I took up her list of references and set about finding them for her. And on the list, she had made various handwritten notes. Nothing unusual about that. They do that all the time. But one caught my eye. At the bottom of one page, she had written, "God is great!" Exclamation mark. God is great. Even in the midst of a pandemic, and in the middle of what must have been for her a very busy shift, even in the middle of a hospital library, God is great. And that took me by surprise, and often events do take us by surprise. Noah was surprised to have to live through a flood. Jonah was surprised at being swallowed by a fish. Frodo was surprised by having to live through the battles of Middle Earth. Tolkien lived through two world wars, and we have just lived through a global pandemic. Jesus lived through his time and is still living with us today. God is great. Sometimes that's the only message we need, no matter if the message itself was in a place that was most unexpected. But it was, for me, the right message at the right place and at the right time. I've no more control over my fate than any of you do. At least we have no control over the time in which we live, or the international events that stir up our small world and our small lives. It's rather like Frodo Baggins. Our comfortable little world that we've got used to has been hugely changed forever. But like Jesus, Jonah, and Noah, whatever our misgivings, we know that God is great and calls us to respond to that. And as Christians, it's what we do. With love, compassion, or judgment, whatever our circumstances, we're often the right person in the right place and at the right time, making the best of that time as we can. Amen. According to our revised order of service, it's now the offering and dedication. That's me. So it's been done. It's been done ahead of time.
So, you put the money in the offering, but you're really offering the prayer.
I'm offering the prayer. That's fine. As we bring our offerings to you this morning, Lord, we give back to you from the abundant blessings that you have given to us. May our gifts be acceptable in your sight. O Lord God, blessing and glory, wisdom and thanksgiving, honor and power and strength be unto you, our God, forever. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And we say together the grace. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, evermore. Amen. There's a lot of talking in this order of service. I can see that Robert wrote it. Let us join together for our prayers of intercession for the world. This does have the response, Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. If you feel comfortable with that, you can respond. If you don't wish to, you can say it in your head. That's fine. In the power of the Spirit and in union with Christ, let us pray to God. Almighty God, when the ways of life threaten to overwhelm us, forgive us when we blame you or others for our troubles. Teach us to find in you the storms of life and give us the faith those early disciples lacked to believe that you will always bring calm and peace to the storm. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Everlasting God, we pray for all Christians around the world. We particularly ask for your protection for Christians who are persecuted because of their faith. And in that same breath, we ask you to protect those who hold other faiths or have no faith at all, and all who suffer persecution and injustice around the world. We pray for our ministers, elders, and congregation. We ask for your strength and guidance for the Reverends Robert, Mark, and Simon, and all the other leaders and members of the Old Town Partnership of Churches as they lead and teach us and guide us through these times. We ask for your blessing on our work as we seek to create a church community that welcomes visitors and strangers and provides a refuge for those who feel threatened or alone, a refuge from life's troubled waters. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Loving God, as we see the brokenness of our world, we pray for healing amongst the nations, for a fair distribution of wealth and coronavirus vaccines and food where there is hunger. We pray for freedom where there is oppression, for joy where there is pain. And we pray that your love may bring peace to all your children. We pray for social justice. We pray for our climate. We pray for the Black Lives Movement. We pray for the LGBTQ community. And we pray most of all for our leaders and hope that our nations can work together to meet the challenges of our world. We pray that the people in this country will continue to do what is right to reduce the risk of coronavirus spreading more widely and having an adverse effect on the NHS. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Holy God, we thank you for the joy of human love and for all those among us whom we live and work. We especially pray for those among our friends and families who do not know you or whose faith has been shaken. Help them to see what we have in you as an anchor to help us with life's problems. We thank you for those who come to this country from elsewhere, who contribute to making our society better, and who serve the communities which they come to call home. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Merciful God, when our lives feel chaotic and desolate because of illness or other problems, help us to hear your holy word, for by that word your Son Jesus calmed the storm. And in a moment of silence, let us pray and reach out to anybody who we know who is in particular need of prayers today. Lord, take these prayers and the people in them and help them to put their trust in you and, in the case of illness, in the knowledge and skills of the medical teams who treat them. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Loving God, we pray for those saddened by the death of someone close and dear to them, either recently or at this time of year. and for members of our own families who have died and whose anniversaries we recall. Help us to experience the comfort of the Holy Spirit within us and the fellowship of the church family all around us until we are reunited once more in your heavenly kingdom. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Gracious God, help us to know that the one who calmed the waves on the Sea of Galilee, your Son Jesus, is present with us today, and that he cares for us and can calm the waves of our lives. Help us to trust more fully and more deeply in you and all that we're involved in the week ahead. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son and our Saviour Jesus Christ. Amen. And now we have some more music for you, a hymn, Through All the Changing Scenes of Life. Thank you for hearing our prayers, feeding us with your word, and encouraging us in our meeting together. Take us and use us to love and serve you and all people. In the power of your Spirit, And in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, Amen.